From Pennsylvania Avenue to Main Street, Scott Inez tackles the hot topics like only he can. It's time for Inez Says.
Hi, hello, and I welcome you back to the Inez Says Podcast. I am Scott Inez. I appreciate you being here today. Find the podcast in the WDBO app. You can also find it right there in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and check me out on the radio every single weekday morning, Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez, 5 to 9 a.m. on WDBO, 107.3 FM and AM 580 in Orlando. Be sure to stream us in the WDBO app. Well, always, always enjoy catching up with Brian Kilmeade here on the Inez Says Podcast. You get to hear him every weekday morning, 9 to noon after us on Orlando's Morning News. Here's that chat now with Brian Kilmeade. The Judiciary Committee now slated to hold its first hearing on the crisis at the southern border. Will anything come out of these investigations, or is it the same old in Washington where nobody's ever held accountable? What do you think?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, when it comes to fentanyl, I don't think it's a Democrat or Republican thing. It's remarkably underreported, and nobody talks about it at the White House. And, you know, when you talk about the border letting people in, at least we're over the whole "we don't like Hispanics" thing, because 140 countries have been represented, mostly Central and South America. So no one's marginalizing you and saying, hey, Scott's talking bad about the border crossings, he doesn't like Hispanic, or Brian, same thing. And they're not even doing that to Republicans. And if you look at the Hispanic vote, it's certainly not running from the GOP. So get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. Fentanyl instantly kills. So we can all agree on that. Number two, it's not the heroin crisis. Heroin's almost a choice. A lot of fentanyl is put into drugs that you might get online, or you might want to Adderall to study harder, or you might have ADD and you might use that for focus. These aren't necessarily addicts in the street, so it's crossing into suburban America, blacks, whites, everybody. So I think they're smart to start with fentanyl. And, I mean, just look at the bus that Bill Mnuchin pulled in yesterday in some of the video. It is amazing, and it's 50 times more powerful than heroin. It instantly kills in most cases. So that's a great way to start. Number two, impeaching Mayorkas is going to be something that got the judiciary as well as oversight going, and they're going right for that. Now, it's not going to go anywhere. The Senate won't pass it. The president won't sign it. But just to hear outlined how bad he is, and I would not be surprised if some Democrats joined in on that and say, nothing could be worse. I mean, if you're a Democrat outside Henry Cuellar in Texas, we know how Cuellar does things responsible there. You have to stand up. Arizona, you have to stand up. Even New Mexico, you have to stand up. They're now making tent cities in San Diego now. And that is all Mayorkas. Don't tell me it's a record migration. Mm-hmm. This is a record attraction in New York. The president yesterday knows there's 43,000 illegals in New York since the spring. They're coming. There's over 11,000 came from Texas on buses. They're now complaining because they have to leave a $300 a night hotel. I think it's more like seven, but they wrote three. And they got to go to a Brooklyn Terminal, which is flat screens, three meals a day. Yeah, there's cots, there's bathrooms, there's showers, there's ping pong, buses, there's free ferry rides, subways. This is all that, and there's protests yesterday, and the president's here talking through about the train tunnel he's going to build a year and a half after he got his infrastructure deal. Now he didn't go one quarter of a mile to see what the problem is with illegal immigration, because it shows he doesn't really care about the problem. Mayor Adams should have made him go.
You know, you mentioned the fentanyl crisis to begin with. It's something that we have covered thoroughly here on this show. And you have, according to Bill Mnuchin of Fox News, three major fentanyl seizures this week. Nearly 300,000 fentanyl pills in a car in Arizona. Over 450,000 fentanyl pills found in the roof and a gas tank of a car out in Arizona. And 14 pounds of fentanyl powder found in the bumper of a car. And the White House keeps sticking its head in the sand about this stuff. And at this point, I'm wondering, and it's part tongue-in-cheek and part not, Brian. I'm wondering if the Bidens are getting a cut from all these drugs coming over the border. I mean, that's how bad it is right now.
How do you ignore it? I mean, and if suburban America doesn't hold the Democratic Party accountable, they'll always ignore it. I don't understand. There's so many things I don't get. And number one, the president seems to have gotten a pass on the worst military disaster ever in Afghanistan. He seems to have gotten a pass on the border. And with the subset of that is fentanyl, so that you can't even say it's a border city thing. And then you have the busing of illegal immigrants going to major cities, so you can't even say it's a border state thing. And then the fentanyl killing and wiping out families. You don't recover from something like that. And these aren't necessarily addicts. Well, my kid went the wrong direction, fentanyl killed him. A lot of times it's like, no, my kid's going to the right direction, goes to one party, got something inadvertently laced into something, and he dies. Narcan doesn't help in a lot of cases. So I just don't understand why this is. I am hopeful. Back to your original question. I am hopeful Democrats will have some direct questioning, and they will not be able to duck it because they want to get reelected too.
Sure, and now we find out there's been like a 700% increase in migrant crossings at the northern border. We're talking the Canadian border here, Brian. I had to do a double take on that story when I saw it earlier this week. We're talking about the northern border, and yet this White House and Democrats continue to say, like you said, no big deal. We're just going to stick our head in the sand. It's unbelievable.
Well, they're not going to win New Hampshire. Governor Sununu, his stock is rising by the day. And I had a chance to have lunch with him last week. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I'm in town. You want to have lunch? And me and Martha McCallum went out to lunch just to get to know him. But I did know him. I've talked to him many times on satellite, but then I spent a day with him right before the pandemic when the New Hampshire primary was taking place. It seems like two lifetimes ago. And I just saw the way, I saw how casually and how he interacts with people, going to polling places, going to supermarkets. And, we were 2 years from any type of presidential decision. And this guy has killed it in New Hampshire in terms of track record. We're focused on DeSantis, and we should. But Sununu is really good in New Hampshire, and he's got the business background, and he's got his old school dad connections with the Bushes. But yet he's a young guy wearing jeans to work every day. So you can't say, well, that's old. That's the old GOP. Not really. And he called out DeSantis because he said, the governor shouldn't worry about woke. I thought that's interesting. And then Nikki Haley is going to announce on February 15th she's in, already called President Trump. We know Trump is in. Tim Scott basically told me Saturday night, I think he is in. One of his best friends told me all systems go. So this is getting pretty exciting.
Yeah, I like Sununu a lot, man. He's just an engaging guy. I think there's a bit of an it factor there with Sununu. I mean, he's calling you to have lunch. He's calling Martha to have lunch. I mean, is he going to run for president?
In that order.
Brian,
then Martha.
Right, exactly. Is he going to run for president or what? Are you getting that feeling?
I say 80% chance. I say 80% chance. Look, one of the first primaries, New Hampshire. How's he going to lose that? Yeah, probably not.
Right.
And then Iowa is always interesting. And then once it's over, it's totally over. Although Barack Obama always credits Iowa, if it wasn't for the success there, he wouldn't have been president. For the most part, Iowa still has trouble counting. Not the people of Iowa. If you're listening, I'm saying the people who run the caucuses have trouble counting. But then, if he gets off to a strong start and he looks good, I just see a lot of talent on the Republican stage. And on the Democratic stage, I see the FBI investigation ratcheting up on Joe Biden. It turns out the FBI did go into the Biden Center of the University of Pennsylvania. We do know that they went into his summer home, or I guess his full-time home, Rehoboth, and they might have gone in, but they're not telling us. We just found out yesterday that they went in November 15th, the FBI did.
Yeah.
So I get the sense this is going to dog him. So on the left, and Kamala Harris getting the right to the solar plexus from Elizabeth Warren, there could be some maneuvers going on the left before Joe Biden actually announces a week after the State of the Union that he's going to run again. So there's a lot of talent and intrigue on the stage. But the bigger question I keep saying is, doesn't matter who you like. If you want your party to win, you have to say how many independents and moderates from the other side can you win over? If you get the most liberal and you elect the most conservative and they can't attract the other side, you will lose unless your opponent's Hillary Clinton or someone as inept as Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that that's what a lot of people look at. They're saying to Nikki Haley's going, her mantra is going to be this, love Trump. I don't see him being able to win.
Hmm.
That's why I'm in. So that's what I expect. Tim Scott, love Trump's policies, but I think it's my time for somebody younger. So that's going to be what's going to be happening on the right.
Well, Nikki Haley apparently already got the blessing of Donald Trump to go ahead and run for president, which tells me that Trump doesn't see her as a major threat. But I wanted to ask you real quick before I let you go, the president and Kevin McCarthy meeting at the White House to talk about a wide range of issues. Debt ceiling will be front and center. Oh, to be a fly on that wall at the White House today, huh, Brian?
Well, I think, you know, one thing about Biden, you know, he knows how to go across party lines. In 2011, he got everyone in his own party angry because he did cut a deal with Mitch McConnell. And even Barack Obama was like, whoa, what did you just do? What did you commit me to? So they wouldn't let him do the next deal. So his instincts that he told everyone he was going to be like, I never believed it, but, you know, of going across the aisle, he won't be. I know I heard Barack Obama could be really cold, but behind closed doors, I think Joe Biden's just the opposite. What gives me hope about this is another story. Moderate Democrats have, I think about 8 of them, wrote to Politico saying, hey, this is what we gave to Kevin McCarthy. We're here to help. So if you would take defaulting on their debt off the table, we will work to do some cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that interesting because Joe Manchin said the same thing. So could it be that Democrats are saying, you know, I'm not going to sit on the sideline anymore. Midterms are over. I kind of want to do something.
Yeah.
You know, so in the House, these guys are all empowered to do stuff. Whatever you think about the 15 rounds, even the AOC says, I'm kind of excited. I could bring stuff up on the floor and be heard. Nancy Pelosi wouldn't allow that. You know, here, sign this omnibus and I'll go home. You don't even have to come to work. You could just go on Zoom. Seriously. So now you have people that may be on the in the middle that might want to do something mature. So give me a little bit. Give me a day to hope.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a day to hope that something gets done, because I do think we got to be mature about being so over budget every single year. So this is a opportunity. Yeah, extend the debt, and here's what we'll do to make sure we won't have to do it again for 2 years.
Much appreciation to Brian Kilmeade for coming on the Inez Says podcast today. That's going to wrap it up for the podcast. Join me on the radio every single weekday morning with Orlando's Morning News, 5 to 9 a.m. on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. I'll see you next time.